chapter number 11. And while you're turning there, I do want to remind you of some upcoming events that we've got here at the church. Our next scheduled event will be our church-wide fast. That'll be February the 25th through the 28th. And if you've never entered into the fast here at the church, the way that we do a three-day church fast. And some do a complete fast, which is just during that time drinking water. Some do a partial fast, and some do it like that because of maybe some medications or physical infirmities. And so they do a partial fast where they'll maybe just abstain from maybe meats during that 3 days and just eat vegetables. But whichever way you do it, if you'll enter into that fast with us, what we do on the 25th will be a Thursday, and at lunchtime will be our last meal that we partake of. And then we'll fast for 3 days, and we'll cook a bunch of food and have eat meeting over there in the fellowship hall that following Sunday, and break our fast together after morning service. So if you will, enter into this fast with us. And the purpose of fasting is not to put on a show or to be able to brag about the fact, well, I'm fasting, or to be try to look act spiritual or anything like that. The purpose of a fast is so God can do something in your life that you need to have done, so that you can hear Him. It's not that so He can hear us, but so that we can hear Him. And when we say no to the flesh and deny the flesh some of His pleasures, then we're letting God know, Lord, we're serious about this. And I'm sure that in this congregation, I know of my own life, I'm sure in this congregation, that there's personal things that we all struggle with. And during a fast is a time to get serious with the Lord and ask God for victory, to be able to break some bondages or chains or strongholds that's in your life, and ask God for victory during that time. So anyway, we're going to be praying during that three-day fast also. Brother Stacy is opened up during that three-day fast a prayer chain, and we're trying to get enough to where we would have someone praying every hour on the hour for those 3 days. If you've not signed up for an hour, please sign up for an hour during that time and help us to pray. Jesus Christ, at the most critical time in His life, during the time, yes, I know He was tempted in the wilderness, but I believe He was tempted in that Garden of Gethsemane by the devil. He was so tempted and so tried during that time. It said that His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. And He was tempted to say, I'm not going through with this thing. And He prayed three times, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And when He walked out of that garden that day, He walked out a victorious Savior headed for the cross of Calvary to die for you and I. And during that time, He asked His disciples, watch and pray. And He would come back to him and He said, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour is not a whole lot of time to spend in prayer. And so we used to sing the old hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Maybe we might better change it to Sweet Minute of Prayer in our modern day. Amen. But we're asking people to sign up for an hour time during those 3 days. 3 hours during those 3 days that you would just get real with the Lord and serious with Him about praying. So that's going to be the 25th through the 28th this month. During on that 28th, we will not be having Sunday school. We'll just begin with morning service. And then, like I say, after that, be breaking our fast together in the fellowship hall. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The theme of Hebrews is that Jesus Christ is better. That word better appears so many times in the book of Hebrews. And is trying to show some Hebrew some Jewish believers, some Jewish converts, that Jesus Christ is better than the Old Testament economy. He's better than the law. He's better than the sacrifices. He's better than the tabernacle. He's better than anything that they had offered to them through the entire Old Testament. When Jesus Christ came into this world, He came and He didn't do away with the law or anything, but He fulfilled it. And He became the fulfiller and the one that was better than anything that had been offered to man up to that time. And so the writer of Hebrews, he's trying to help the Hebrew believers to press on, not to try to... You see, somebody that came from law to grace, they had a hard time transferring in that into that to where they just truly trusted wholly in Jesus Christ. Some of those Hebrew believers, they would try to hold on maybe to some ceremony or some Passover feast or some ritual of the Jewish, some tradition of the Jewish beliefs. And so Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, is trying to convince those Jews that Jesus Christ is so much better, to the point where He is everything we need. And we don't need all those ceremonies. We don't need those feasts. We don't need all of that. We need Jesus Christ to fulfill everything for our lives. So Hebrews chapter 11 tonight, we've been in that for quite some while. And we want to try to finish that chapter up tonight so we can go on and finish going into chapter 12. The Hebrews chapter 11, the entire chapter, is about faith. And it's the story of what all of these Old Testament saints did by faith. It is the greatest chapter in all of the Word of God about faith. It goes into detail of what the Old Testament prophets, what the Old Testament judges, what all those that lived by faith, what they did by faith. And God has it recorded. And now we read it tonight in what they did by faith. And I've got something I need to share with you tonight to reemphasize it. I'm sure that some of you understand this. I'm sure that you've heard this before. It's not what you do that God is interested in, but it's what you allow God to do through you. You see, we live by faith, yes, but it's not our faith. We live by the faith of the Son of God, Galatians 2:20, who loved us and gave Himself for us. So we live by His faith. And what we allow God to do through our lives is what God is pleased with. And without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. So God wants to do something in the individual's life. I'll reference my own personal life. You've heard my testimony before I got saved. I was not a church-going person. In my early youth, I was raised in a Methodist church when it was convenient. I didn't know anything about God, didn't own a Bible when I got saved. And I went out and bought a Bible. I had no idea that God would ever want me to preach His Word. I had no inkling. The day that I got saved, I had no idea that God had something already in mind for my life. And the Bible tells us in the book of Philippians chapter 2, He said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, He's not telling us to work to be saved. Your salvation, the salvation you have now, work that out. You be sure that whatever God's working in gets worked out in your life. Why? Because it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So it's not what we do that God's taken note of, but it's what we allow His Son to do through our lives. If it were left up to me, I would not be a preacher. I mean, I'm just talking in the natural sense. If it were left at me, I would have never called myself to preach. But God had that already decided upon. And whenever I realized what God was doing, then I had to allow God to do that in my life. That's what living by faith is. God wanting to do something in your heart, in your life, through your life. And you allowing God to do that. So Hebrews 11, it goes back into the Old Testament and it gives us example after example after example of what different individuals did by faith. We've looked at many of them. We looked at Enoch. We looked at Noah. We looked at Abraham. We looked at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We looked at Joseph. We've looked at Moses, the life of Moses. And now we're down to, in Hebrews chapter 11, we're down to verse number 30-something, I believe it is. Let me find it. Yes, verse number 30, where by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, he goes from individual faith, where what individuals did by faith, to corporate faith. This, now he's talking about the whole body of the nation of Israel and what they did by faith. The walls of Jericho fell because the whole nation of Israel was operating in faith together. They were of one mind. They were unified in what they were doing. And you know, I believe it was the last time that we were talking about this verse of Scripture, is that they, for 6 days, they walked around the city of Jericho, around that walled up city. And for 6 days, one time a day, they would walk around that city, never say a word. I mean, not one of them, they didn't utter a peep. They did not say a word. They were just doing what their commander Joshua had told them to do. The seventh day, they marched around that city 7 times, never said a word until they heard the blowing of the trumpets. And when they heard them, those priests, blow with the trumpets, the whole nation of Israel shouted together. I mean, they shouted and it said that the walls of Jericho fell flat. Now, that's corporate faith. That's what God is able to do with a body of people that will be unified and living together and operating together in faith. God does look at the faith of us all together as Murrayville Baptist Church. He looks at our individual faith, yes. He's looking at Brother Terry's faith. He's looking at my faith. He's looking at your faith. But corporately, God is looking at Murrayville Baptist, and what will Murrayville Baptist do by faith as a corporate body together? We cannot do it if we're divided. We cannot do it if one wants to do this, another one wants to do that. It takes leadership. It takes everybody on the same page and believing by faith that this is what God wants to do. So God does use the corporate faith of a body of people. You remember the story of the four that brought a lame man to Jesus. He was a lame man and he was not able to go to where Jesus was. So those four, they went to that lame man. They got that lame man bedded up and they took him to where Jesus was. There was a host of people. It said that there were so many people that you couldn't even get through the door. And so they went up on the roof, tore the roof up, and let that lame man down right in the front of Jesus Christ. And this is what the Word of God said. When Jesus saw not his faith, when Jesus saw their faith, he was looking at those four and what they knew. If we can just get this man to Jesus, I felt something on that. They knew if we can just work together and get this one man. I mean, all four of them were unified. They were on the same page. They all believed the same thing. They all believed if we can just get this man to Jesus, Jesus is able to do something for him. And it says when Jesus saw their faith. I don't know about you, but I like that. Because God is able to use a whole body of people to accomplish the salvation of somebody's soul, the deliverance of some individual. God can use us corporately together. We all work together whenever a service is going on. Yes, we got a piano player over here, an organ player way over there on the other side. We got a song leader in the middle. We're all out here and we're all singing together in you. What if some of you wanted to sing? Well, I don't want to sing Amazing Grace. I want to sing In the Sweet By and By. And so over here, somebody was singing In the Sweet By and By, and somebody over here was singing Amazing Grace. That would be confusion. But God has us all working together to accomplish His will. Glory to God. I'm glad God can corporately use our faith so that others will get help from God. I believe there's been many a person walk in these doors that when they walked in these doors, it was not the faith of any one person. It was a corporate bonding of our faith that God used to get things accomplished in individual lives. Amen. I'm glad God gave us that tonight. So, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab. You know who Rahab is? Back in Joshua chapter 2, you read that account of Rahab. She was, the Bible calls her a harlot. We'll stay with what the Bible says. I know what a lot of the commentators try to say about that. But the Bible calls her a harlot. She was also a Gentile. But she got saved by the grace of God. She got saved. And I want us to look at that just a little bit tonight. Let's read our verse in verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Now, what did she believe? You come back to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2 tonight. And let's look at this just a little bit. Joshua chapter 2. Jericho was a doomed city. God's people had unified together and were going to march around it. And Jericho was going to fall. And everybody associated with Jericho was going to be history. Except this one lady by the name of Rahab, who was a Gentile, not just a Gentile, but a sinful, sinful lady Gentile. And notice what happens. Chapter 2, verse number 1. It said, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. She had evidently had a boarding house, and they went there to lodge there. Now notice in verse number 8, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know. Now she knew some things. She said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard. How does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She had heard some news, and this is what she heard. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, now watch her, here's her confession, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, what she had heard, she was acting on. What she had heard, she believed. She had heard about what God did with the nation of Israel when He brought them out of the land of Egypt, brought them up to the Red Sea, opened up the Red Sea, and they marched through on dry land. She had heard that. And she said, I have heard, and now I believe that your God is the God. And that belief is what she, that faith that she had is what saved her soul. Now, what she does is that she bargains with the men. She said, if you'll promise me something, if you'll give me a token, she said, I believe in your God. I believe in that He is God. And I know that God is going to use the nation of Israel to completely destroy Jericho. But I don't want to perish. I don't want to die in this thing. Is there anything that you can do for me? And so she strikes a covenant with those two men. And she says, I'll deliver you if you'll deliver me. And so what she does in verse 15 of our text, Joshua 2. Then she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall. And she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain. So she delivers them, what? By a cord through her window. Their deliverer at that time, and so she lets a cord over the wall out her window, and those two spies escape the hands of those that wanted to kill them, and she says, get you to the mountains, and she helped deliver those two spies. Now watch this. Verse 18. Behold, when we come into the land, they're talking to Rahab now. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head if any hand be upon him. You know what she did? She let them out that window with a red scarlet line. And that same scarlet cord that delivered the two spies delivered her in the day that the Jews came into Jericho. She let that cord down there, and those two spies told them, said, when you see that window that has the red cord, don't you touch anybody that's inside that house. They are going to be... You realize this? She lived upon the town wall. It said that when they marched around that wall seven times that the walls fell flat, hers was the only one left standing. I mean, everything else was utter destruction, and her portion of the wall where her house was at was the only portion that was left standing, and God miraculously delivered her. Hey, when the rest of this world is destroyed, we're going to be the only ones left standing because we are on the rock. Amen. Amen. All right, now, come back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. So, verse 31, the Rahab, the Gentile harlot, the Gentile sinner, did not perish with those that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. And verse 32, and what more shall I say? He's winding up his discussion, his discourse about faith. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Look in verse 32 with me just a minute. There's four judges, one king and one prophet mentioned by name. Then he says, and then of the prophets, he includes all of them. Look at that list that he has named. Let's take one of the judges, for example. The judges lived in a time where there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And by the way, whenever somebody does that which is right in their own eyes, they're always doing that which is wrong in God's eyes. Well, I thought I'd get an amen right there. When somebody does something what is right in their own eyes, They're doing what's not right in God's eyes. All right, so Samson was one of the judges, one of the famous judges. When we think of the judges of Israel, we always think about Samson. But notice he's in the hall of faith. Do you remember what Samson did? He played games with the power of God. He loved to play games. He was the one that was always doing, having a riddle or playing games with that. But you remember, he had the supernatural strength of God. I believe that Samson was about 5'6" and a half, weighed about 185 pounds. And I don't believe he had biceps. I don't believe he pumped weights or anything. I don't believe he went to the gym. He just had the supernatural power of God resting upon his life. Everybody asked him, said, "Where do you get this power from?" And it was from the fact that God placed that power on his life. No way, no other explanation for it. But he played games with God's gifts in his life. He played games with the power of God. And you remember the story of how he lost that power. He lost that supernatural strength and became like any other man at the lap of Delilah. But you don't read that in Hebrews 11. You read about him living by faith. I love Hebrews 11. There's hope for me in Hebrews 11. Look who else is in verse 32. David. You remember, he's the king after God's own heart. He's the king that God had chosen and handpicked. But you remember the story of David. You know what David did when he walked out. When it was a time when kings should have been at war. It was a time when kings should have been in the battle. But David stayed at home. And because of that error of his ways, David fell to lust and brought Bathsheba into him. You don't read that about David. You read that he lived by faith. I'm thankful for Hebrews 11. Because even though we live in this flesh and we mess up, can I get a witness right there? We sin, can I get a witness right there? God's looking at your faith. And the end of your story is going to be that you lived by faith. Notice verse 33, what they do. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They did this by faith. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. You remember the story of Daniel in the den of lions. And how that he was cast into the den of lions. And that Lord sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. During that night that Daniel, he should have been consumed by them lions. But God was there to protect him. How did that happen? By faith. They quenched the violence of fire. You remember the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. How that they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. But by faith, they quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. There was 100 prophets that were hid in the book of 1 Kings in the days of Elijah. They were hid in caves and they escaped. They were trying to kill all the prophets of Israel, but they escaped the edge of the sword by faith. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. I love the next two words in verse 35. And others. This list that finishes up Hebrews chapter 11 holds a dear spot to my heart, because we've read all that they did by faith and we looked at them as, man, those are heroes. Those are the ones that built an ark to the saving of his house. They're the ones that went out of this country not knowing where they was going and went into the promised land, Abraham. And we read about all these great, mighty exploits that they did. Then in verse 35, and it says, and others. This is the overlooked crowd. This is the crowd that the modern day charismatic church isn't going to talk about. This is the bunch that did things by faith. And it's not necessarily recorded in the Old Testament, but God was watching. And God knows who they were, and God has it recorded. And others, look at it, by faith were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. They were threatened that if they did not renounce the God of Israel, that they would be destroyed, they would be killed. They said, kill me. I'd rather be killed than to renounce the name of Jesus Christ. So they were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Look at verse 36. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. Jeremiah was imprisoned at one time. They were stoned. They were sown asunder. It's tradition, the Bible doesn't say this, but tradition has it, that the prophet Isaiah was commanded by an evil king to be placed in the hollow portion of a dead tree, and being placed in there, then sown into. They did that by faith. They were stoned. They were sown asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. You don't hear preachers preaching about that crowd. But that crowd lived by faith. We see somebody walking around destitute and naked and without any clothes, without any prosperity in his life, and we'd say, oh, that individual's not living by faith. God's Word says different. They lived by faith. Of whom, look at verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. David, the first portion of his kingship, lived in a cave. 24 times David was threatened by the hand of Saul, or someone Saul ordered to kill him. 24 times David escaped and had to live in the cave on the run, even though he was the king of Israel, had already been anointed as king of Israel. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through what faith, received not the promise. Every one of them died before Jesus Christ showed up. Every one of them died, but they died in faith. They did what they did by faith, and they died in faith. God, verse 40, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, I want to remind you, who is the writer of Hebrews writing to? He's writing to some Jewish people that had believed in Jesus Christ. They knew the history of Israel, and he reflects them and reminds them of what they had done by faith. Then he points to this crowd that have now believed and said, listen, they all died in faith. They never received the promise of the Messiah. And I want you to think about this. They all lived in faith without a New Testament. They all lived in faith without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They all lived in faith without being born again. But now these believers are now born again. And he said they did not receive God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. God is going to raise us all up, the Old Testament believers and the New Testament believers in Christ. And we're all going to be presented perfect in Jesus Christ. They were looking forward to the coming, the first coming of their Messiah, and they never saw it. But they kept believing, and they died in faith. We're now on this side of Jesus Christ, this side of the cross. And brethren, we have the completed New Testament. We have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. We have the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. And what does chapter 12, verse 1 say? Wherefore, seeing we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, what is He talking about? All these that live by faith. He said, you can do it. You can run your race. You can finish your race. I believe with all of my heart, we're living in the very last moments. I believe the curtain's fixing to draw, and Jesus Christ Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And I believe the dead in Christ that are buried back there are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another. I believe we're right at the very close of this thing. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, I believe Satan is trying his best to get Christians just to fold their arms and quit on God. And say there's just no need. But brethren, we got a great cloud of witnesses. That's already showed us that it does pay to live by faith, to do it by faith. When you don't feel like it, just let faith carry you. When your feelings are hurt, let faith carry you. When you feel like giving up and saying there's nothing, no one cares, let your faith carry you on. Faith is the only thing going to get you through. We better ask God more than ever to increase our faith. Because I promise you that, what did He tell Peter? Satan's desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. Old Brother Dean McNeese at the camp meeting, Brother Stacy and them were there. Brother Dean McNeese got up one night and he got to talking about that passage. And I'll just give you this. He did a word study on that where it said that Satan's desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But that little phrase, but I have prayed for you, it's where we get our word eclipse from. He said, but I prayed for you. I've eclipsed you. And Dean said this. He said, I thought I knew what an eclipse was. He said, till I went to the dictionary and just looked it up. He said it's when one heavenly body is shining down on another one, but then another heavenly body steps in between. And Satan's wanting to mess with your life and wanting to destroy your life, but Jesus steps in between. He eclipses, He prays for your faith, that it fail not, but that your faith will be built in these days in which we're living. Because, brethren, that's going to be the only thing to carry us all the way to the end of this thing. It's going to be the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave us. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. Amen. Well, we'll leave off right there and pick up in chapter 12 next time. I'm glad He eclipsed me. I'm glad that He run interference. Dean got to talking about it. He said, y'all pray for me. He said, I got mad, went home and beat my wife. And she divorced me. I beat all the youngs. He said, oh, wait a minute. No, that didn't happen. He said, because Jesus prayed for me.